You are locked in to Locked On Badgers on a Tuesday. My name is Asher Lowe, joined by Ben Kenny for good for the second straight day and for forevermore here on the Locked On Badgers podcast. We are both over at BadgersWire.com writing about all things Wisconsin football and Wisconsin basketball and bringing you all the latest in recruiting, in game coverage, all that good stuff. And today it is all about basketball. It is a full-on basketball show after yesterday was a mostly football with a taste of the number one team in the nation, Wisconsin volleyball. Today is an all basketball show. Ben, welcome back for your second day on the job.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Let's have a take.
Let's have a take indeed. Wisconsin basketball finished the year not the way we necessarily thought they would going into it, but I think the way we expected them to finish it heading into March. And of course, as you always do, make sure you listen and follow for free on Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can play Locked On Badgers on your smart speakers as well by saying play podcast Locked On Badgers. Drop a review. Follow on Twitter at Locked On Badgers, at AOW3 at Ben Z Kenny. Follow us on Twitter, all that good stuff. Keep up to date with what we are doing, what we got going on. But Wisconsin basketball is the theme today, and we're going to start with talking about how the year ended. We're going to get into the future, and then we're going to get into the present. So in that order, how it ended, talking about then the recruiting class coming in, what Wisconsin's roster looks like right now heading into next year, and we'll close it with the present, which is the present in college basketball everywhere, the brand new free agency of college sports, the transfer portal, which Greg Gard had some thoughts on. I'm not going to play Greg Gard's audio. You've probably heard it by now. I think he got a bad rep for what he was actually trying to say, but it maybe wasn't the world's greatest recruiting pitch. We're gonna get into the transfer portal stuff near the end. But we'll start with Wisconsin basketball in 2020 to 2021. A group of seniors that we heard all offseason long had the experience to get it done. A team that came in as Big Ten champions a year ago. Had an amazing run. And I think they should always be remembered, this class, for that run. It was a run filled with adversity like no other off the floor. I mean, we don't have to get into it. You know, if you followed this team, what do more, be more, for more meant to those seniors and how they rallied around unspeakable tragedy to come together and to win and to lift up others while doing it. It was a beautiful thing to be at the Kohl Center last year celebrating that Big Ten championship that was against all odds. I mean, nobody thought this team had a chance. Flashback to January of last year. Nobody thinks they have a chance. Then, of course, the year falls out from under them after that. So how about the adversity this senior class dealt with? Like no other, and there will never be another senior class ever that deals with adversity quite like this, that this Badger senior class had to go through. It will never happen again. But this year didn't go to plan. This year was a disappointment on many levels. And there are many reasons for it. It's not all on court. This was a year that had no fans in the Kohl Center, a year where players were getting tested all the time, where they had no social lives. It was a really different, difficult, and challenging year for a group of seniors that was ready to play in front of fans, that was ready for their NCAA tournament moment that never came last year at the right time. They were on fire last year heading in. They didn't get that chance. It was a really tough year overall, Ben, to stomach as a Wisconsin basketball fan, as a Wisconsin basketball writer. You just didn't want to see this group of seniors who deserve better go out this way. But they will always be remembered. Like I said and like I wrote at Badgers Wire, they will always be remembered first and foremost as champions amidst unspeakable adversity.
Yeah, you're spot on. I mean, this was the culmination of multiple years. They're obviously all seniors, but it's also the culmination of multiple years of not failure, but adversity kind of throughout their younger years, where the last time we saw the Badgers win an NCAA tournament game was back against Villanova in, I believe, 2017 calendar year, 2016-17 basketball year. So this was a big buildup of Brad Davison's career, Trice's career, Reaver's career, and then Potter obviously comes in. So given everything they had to deal with, especially at the end of last year, it's really tough to see because, if we're being honest, that was their chance to make that run. Then heading into this year, I mean, things just didn't click.
They didn't. And I wrote at the beginning of the year talking about expectations for this team second weekend of the tournament. Heading into the tournament, I think they did everything right. Like in March, those two games that we saw them play, the win over North Carolina where Brad Davison was a superhuman version of himself, and the Baylor game where Wisconsin battled in the second half, did not go away down double digits. They had cut that thing to 7 at one point, and Baylor's been steamrolling everybody in this tournament. Wisconsin cut that thing to 7 in the second half, had a four-minute stretch, as it seemed they had all year, a chance against a great team to come back, and they couldn't take advantage offensively, as it seemed to be all year. Long scoring droughts, it doomed them in that game, but that wasn't the issue in the season. It wasn't those two games. It was well before that. It was, you can't beat a Big Ten team that's good. How do you expect to get anything above what they got in a 9 seed, 8 seed, 7 seed going in? We thought they might get, okay. But 7 through 9, what are you expecting to do in the NCAA tournament unless you get ridiculously hot, which this team just didn't show the ability to do offensively. They don't have those dudes, that multiple guys that can just take over a game offensively.
Right. And I mean, in a way, the tournament was kind of lost at the end of the season, where they came down the stretch, I believe 6 or 7 straight losses against ranked teams. They finished the year with those 2 losses to Iowa, the tight loss to Purdue. If one of those games goes the other way, they're not even on that 9 seed line where they get a Baylor in the second round and maybe the momentum can build. So the tournament in a way was kind of lost before, but I mean, still coming away from it, we obviously going into the year expected and thought that they would go further, but I'm thankful that they did get that tournament win, because it was the first since I've been in the state of Wisconsin, the first since the Villanova win years ago, and in a way, they ended Roy Williams' career.
This won't be shocking for older listeners, but it will be shocking for the younger crowd, maybe not as young as Ben and I, but the 30s crowd. I also, and Ben just said it, we didn't experience a Wisconsin basketball tournament win in college until North Carolina. Not a single win in the NCAA tournament. We didn't get one. The Villanova game was before we came to school. The Florida Chiosa ridiculousness was before we came to school. We came at a very difficult time. We did experience a Big Ten championship, which I will never forget that run. Like I said, and I want to harp on it because it matters. It will always be the legacy of this class. But we never experienced a tournament win until Brad Davison went Brad Jordan on North Carolina and was hitting step backs left and right, hitting ridiculous threes in transition that I tell him not to take. I tweeted at him not to take those transition threes, and what does he do? He rolls in and hits one. It was a joke. I don't want to look that bad again, Brad. Please don't do it to me. But, man, it was the only one we ever experienced. And by the way, speaking of Brad Davison, every single senior on this team is either leaving, not playing college basketball, or has announced their plans for next year that do not involve Wisconsin. You have Nate Reavers transferring in the transfer portal right now, Trevor Anderson in the transfer portal. Everybody else has announced they'll move on to the next stage in their life. Brad Davison's the only one that hasn't announced either way, leaving that door open just a crack. Jim Polzin was saying he's still taking his time, making his decision. But that door is open just a little bit for Brad to come back, maybe. Is that a good thing, a bad thing? I'm not entirely sure. It'll help the team next year if he comes back, no doubt about it. Having a guy that's been there for 4 years always helps and has been productive at times throughout his 4 years. He's had really good stretches and individual games. Never been able to put it together, but I think that to bring his energy and effort back and his leadership back would help the younger guys coming in, would help Chucky Hepburn, would help Johnny Davis.
Can I go on the record for a second? I want Brad Davison back next year.
I wouldn't go as far as to say like I really just need Brad Davison back, but I think it would help everyone in the program. So I guess it's a positive. I'm not gonna like lose sleep if he doesn't come back. I also think he should move on. I mean that's his decision though. I just personally think if you've played like your 4 years, weren't expecting to have that year, I think it makes more sense to move on than not. And by the way, I want to say that and add to that, that yes, it's everybody's individual decision. I'm just saying that not Brad Davison specifically should move on, but if I was that person that had played 4 years of college basketball, I know under basically every single circumstance in the world, I would move on. So I want to stop the conversation I've seen about it looks badly on this program that all the seniors are leaving, that none of them want to, like, I'd be way more shocked if any of them had come back than left. They all left. That makes perfect sense. They're moving on with their lives. Joe Hedstrom transferred as well. Not a senior, but a guy that was not getting playing time. It's pretty simple. How does that conversation go? Hedstrom walks in and says, am I going to play next year? Greg Gard says, probably not as much as you want. Joe Hedstrom goes to a place where he's going to start. That's probably what's going to be the outcome of that. a lot of places would start a seven-footer. I guarantee you that in college basketball. So he can find a place to play a ton, and that was as simple as that. I don't think any of the players leaving so far has looked in any way bad on Wisconsin's program. The only thing that will look bad is something I'll talk about in our third and final segment. I'll leave it at a teaser for that. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Head to RockAuto.com as they ship it directly to your house. You don't have to go through the ridiculous dealer prices. You don't have to go to the dealer where they just make you pay $100 for walking in the door. You go to RockAuto.com, you get a wholesale auto part, you fix it yourself. They have every make and model you can imagine. You basically log onto the site, RockAuto.com, and you see on this left side a database of every year, every model. You will find that part you are looking for. It is a family-run wholesale auto parts business. Make sure in your checkout, you hit that How Did You Hear About Us box and throw Locked On in it. How Did You Hear About Us box, make sure you put Locked On so they know that we at Locked On Badgers and the Locked On Podcast Network sent you to RockAuto.com. RockAuto, shout out Ben Stevens, RockAuto, RockAuto, RockAuto.com. Make sure you check out Locked On Today with Locked On Packers host Peter Bukowski, bringing you your daily sports news in 15-minute blocks every single day. The way to wake up as a sports fan is Locked On Today, available wherever you get your podcast. Locked On Today with Packers host Peter Bukowski, available now. Make sure you tune in every single morning, bright and early, for your daily sports fix. Wisconsin basketball is the topic. Locked On Badgers is the show. My name is Asher. That's Ben Kenny. And we are together for the second ever episode of Asher and Ben hosting together here on the Locked On Badgers podcast. Yesterday, football, make sure you check it out. Spring football, we talked recruiting. We talked Wisconsin volleyball, who are starting their NCAA tournament journey on April 15th with the winner of a first-round matchup between Bowling Green, and the second one is not on the top of my head right now. But Wisconsin gets a first-round bye, advances to the second round, the number one overall seed. I'm going to shout them out basically every single episode leading up to that because you have to watch the greatest team on campus right now, handshake to women's volleyball, both the greatest teams on campus right now in Madison, Wisconsin. We're talking basketball right now. A quick look at next year's team. And before we get to the transfer portal, which I'll finish with, we're going to talk next year's roster, the makeup, what to expect right now. But I think, I'll preface this by saying, I think a lot of this will change based on transfer portal actions because Wisconsin, not should be, Wisconsin has to be. It is imperative that this team is heavily involved in the transfer portal. And you will hear some real rants leading up to this year if there aren't serious, serious additions made in the transfer portal because this team is in a lot of trouble. If Greg Gard and staff don't figure out the transfer portal now rather than later, this is the year to do it. Wisconsin will never rely on the transfer portal. It's not going to happen. But college basketball is changing, and the Badgers, this year more than ever, just need dudes. They need three or four guys to come in and make a difference on next year's roster to compete in the Big Ten. Can we even call it the best conference in college basketball anymore? I don't think so. Pac-12 Nation.
Listen, I mean, this is where we're at with the season, and I don't think I'm emotionally ready for this. Come November, whenever 2021-22 starts, all of this past season, all we listened to were broadcasts talking about how old Wisconsin was, how when Potter and Reavers started, how they were older than the starting lineup of the Bulls. We get it. Now going into next year, we're going to have the whole youth conversation, where every single time they take the court and they show the starting lineup graphic, you're going to look at junior, sophomore, maybe two freshmen, another sophomore, and all the broadcast is going to talk about is the lack of experience. So number one, on the court, it is imperative that they find someone in the transfer portal, especially given how oversaturated it is right now. I think they've already set a record with players in the transfer portal. But two, for the well-being of everyone watching, there needs to be at least one or two upperclassmen to take away the whole conversation about this team potentially starting five underclassmen.
Let's talk about the core next year. So it starts with two guys. It starts with Johnny Davis and Ben Carlson. And I think the second name there is getting forgotten a little bit. Ben Carlson's going to come back and be a starter next year. I don't see almost any way where he's not a starter, barring injury or some ridiculous transfer portal luck. I think it'll be the Ben Carlson, Johnny Davis show in terms of players already on this team. Those two will lead the way next year in terms of players we know right now. Like I said, I do anticipate there being some transfers, but those two guys are the dudes. Ben Carlson is versatile. Ben Carlson can score the basketball at all three levels. He's a good rebounder. He played well in those early season games. Like, he played pretty well. He looked like he belonged day one.
Really good passer.
Looked like he belonged in those games that he was playing in. Yes, non-conference opponents that aren't the quality of Big Ten opponents. Oftentimes in those games he was playing in early season, and the injury was kind of strange. Little weird vibe around that whole thing as to why he missed so many games. It's college sports, though. A lot of things are kept hush-hush. It probably was pretty serious, and we just didn't hear the full extent of it. Injuries aren't always dictated and communicated well in college sports, and that's by design. That's on purpose because they can, and nobody's banging down the door, and they're also college athletes. They're not professional athletes, so it's a little different when you're talking about injuries and breaking them out. But Ben Carlson's going to be a huge part of this team next year. Jonathan Davis, I don't need to talk about him much because I talk about him all the time on this show. Silky smooth. Silky smooth, can create his own shot, great mid-range shooter, going to get better as a three-point shooter, already a good shooter, not a great distance three-point shooter, can't really step a couple feet even beyond that arc and extend his range. Never really seen him shoot a three that isn't right on that line. Like, I'd love to see him extend his range a little bit, become more comfortable from 25 feet. I think that'll really help his game when he's trying to get to the next level. And also, the thing where he has this tendency to stop. A lot of young players do it. I do it all the time playing basketball. I did it all the time playing basketball, where instead of going into contact on the drive, you stop and you try to fade away about 4 or 5 feet from the rim. You try to put up a tough floater instead of initiating that contact with the shoulder. Oftentimes, you're going to get an easier shot by initiating the contact, by rubbing that defender off of you instead of fading away, making it tougher on yourself. He did a lot of making life hard on himself last year when he drove to the rim, especially in Big Ten play. I think he'll clean a lot of that up when he watches that film back and goes to work this summer.
Can we talk about Jonathan Davis for a second? Because I think everyone who follows the team knows that Greg Gard's going to be under the microscope a bit next year because, frankly, like we could say, the team is not, first of all, the expectations won't be as high, but the product on the court is not going to be as good as it's been the last couple years with all these guys pretty much playing college for the first time. Gard is a lover of the swing offense. We know that he really likes to utilize his offense, utilize everyone on the court. I really want to see Jonathan Davis featured kind of single-handedly more because he's by far their best option on the offensive end moving forward. He's the most talented player. And if the same swing offense, I feel like, is utilized all season the way it's been the last couple years, we could really see him not blossom as like he has the potential to.
Do you remember what I said about the subs earlier this year on this show? I think you were on the show. Do you remember what I said about his substitution patterns?
I did, vividly.
It was this. My biggest issue with it was this. It's rigid. There's no difference based on personnel. That game, that moment, there was no difference. He did everything the same way. That was his philosophy. He was doing it, and it changed, by the way, eventually, because it just had to change. It did change eventually.
Well, because it didn't work.
Correct. But going into the year, going into last year, it was best defensive five. I don't care the outcome of the game that happened before. I don't care what that team has on the floor. I don't care if that team's a great offensive team or a great defense. I don't care about any of that. Best defensive five. That is idiotic. I'm sorry. I'll say it again. That doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense. It can work 90% of the time. That's fine. You can say most of the time I'd rather have a best defensive five out there. There are situations where that's different, but that wasn't the conversation. It was best defensive five. That's it. So how does this relate to Jonathan Davis? Perfect example. The swing offense and Jonathan Davis. UCLA just made a tournament run playing isolation basketball. I'm not saying that the Badgers are suited to play isolation basketball because they are not at all. But one player is on that floor. One player is very good in that situation against a one-on-one defender. One player is better when he's not moving off ball all the time, calling for the ball in the lane when he's not going to get it ever, and then rotating out to the weak side corner and just doing it all again. That player is Jonathan Davis. He can take you one-on-one. You can create space for him with a matchup you like against certain teams and let him go to work sometimes. Not every possession. Not super often. You should not go isolation basketball all the time. But by the way, the word isolation has a negative connotation with Wisconsin fans, and it should not. Isolation basketball is great basketball if your personnel are suited to it, and you know how to do it well, and you're coached to do it well. Like I said, go watch UCLA play basketball. They literally don't run team offense that often. It's pick and roll, and it's mid-post isolation. That's it. And guess what? It works.
Yeah, I think the key word here is featured. Like, if you say isolation, everyone will check out. He just needs to be featured. He needs to, the offense needs to clear, like, it needs to run through him. Whatever they're doing in the sets, like, he just needs to be a featured part, not just one member of the scheme that guard will run no matter what. But if you had over under, I think, 16 minutes for a UCLA reference, I think the under hit.
Yeah, that's not surprising at all, especially after the greatest college basketball game I've ever seen played with my two eyes was played on Saturday between UCLA and Gonzaga. That'll be that. Don't need to hear my Gonzaga thoughts again on this show. You do not. That is not what you came for. Locked On Zags, though. New show on the podcast network.
Shout out.
Locked On Zags. Go listen to Locked On Zags. If you do like my Gonzaga takes, you can get them way better over there at Locked On Zags, a guy that actually covers that team every single day on the Locked On Podcast Network. Brand new show. Go check it out. But back to Wisconsin basketball. Before we get to the transfer portal in just a sec, last thing I want to talk about is the big men, because there is no clear starting enforcer on this team. Not to say Micah Potter and Nate Reavers were enforcers last year. I think Potter was at times, though. Rebounders, yes, at times. Obviously, there's that whole conversation about zero rebounds combined in a very important game we won't remind you of. But they rebounded the basketball. They were at least bringing size and experience. It's going to be Steven Crowell, right? It's going to be Matthew Morse, who aren't true bigs in the nature of those two guys. And that could be fun. There could be some fun with that. And by the way, I think Matthew Morse is going to be awesome. Awesome. A three-star who, in my opinion, is more like a four-star. Just can do everything with the basketball. And at his size, as a forward at his size, that looks and feels like a guard making moves, dribbling the basketball, he's going to be scary on the offensive end right away. He's going to contribute right away on that end.
Early cause for concern. You're talking about a Big Ten that is loaded with big men. Even with Garza gone, and even with some of the great Kofi Coburn gone, you're talking about a conference that can rebound better, almost pretty much better than any other conference in the country. This is a team, even Chris Hodges coming in with that class, he's 6'8". And rebounding can be an effort thing. It can be a technique thing. But there also reaches a point where you're not going into games with the same big presence that you were for years.
And size doesn't dictate rebounding necessarily. I'm more talking about defense, especially in the post. Like, who's going to guard post players? Who's going to be that enforcer on the defensive end? Because Jonathan Davis is the best rebounder on this team. Going back, like, by far. He's a phenomenal rebounder, and he's 6'4", 6'5". When he jumps, he's 6'9". So he's a phenomenal rebounder for his size. He's just a great rebounder in general, any size. I don't care. He attacks the basketball on the offensive glass. He creates extra opportunities. So he's the best rebounder on this team, but I'm more worried about the defense. I think the Badgers are so well-schooled that they will rebound the basketball decently well. It's more about who can guard a one-on-one good post player on this team. And I don't see anybody on the roster right now that I'd feel comfortable with saying, yeah, you go even try to contain a guy like Cameron Crowing, Kofi Coburn, right? These guys we saw last year on Wisconsin's schedule. Not this year, but there will be more of those guys. And I don't know how Wisconsin's going to handle them without a couple transfers. And there are some options out there. There are, as we've heard many times, we've all caught, there are many options out there. Trust me, the transfer portal is as big as ever, as you've heard, I'm sure. But will Wisconsin land any of them? We shall see. We will talk about that in just a sec.
First, a word from BetOnline AG. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Listen, college basketball might have ended with the national championship, but the NBA is in full swing. The MLB just got off and running. NHL is in full swing. And guys, it's Masters Week. Probably one of my favorite weeks of the year. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It is the best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code LOCKEDON, 50% off, welcome 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Listen, you've heard it here first. Jordan Spieth is going to win this weekend. I think you can get him around plus 1,200. Hammer the line.
That's back-to-back, right? Not Masters, but he just won whatever the last event was.
It will be back-to-back. It was his first win in 4 years.
Locked on Masters, locked on Bruins. Locked on Badgers is what we're doing here, transfer portal. And if I have a dream guy, Ben, before I get into the three guys that the Badgers are actually looking at and that are actually realistic and that Wisconsin's actually reached out to, not realistic necessarily all three, but Wisconsin's reached out to all three of them. If I had a dream guy in the transfer portal right now that does not have a home yet, it's based on what we just talked about, by the way. It is John Hara, Penn State. You want an enforcer. This guy is a football tight end. If you remember him watching Wisconsin-Penn State games this year, number 21, he was that guy that looked like a football player. You can pick him out in 2 seconds. If you've never watched a basketball game in your life, and I said, and you knew football, and I said, who's the football player? You'd point to him in 10 seconds. He's a tight end. 6'9", 240, he listed at. I think he's more like 260, I'll be honest, looking at him live. He also looks bigger than 6'9". Like that's selling him short. I don't know that it's freshman height and weight, but NBA actually does rookie heights and weights. Maybe they kept the freshman height and weight. That's tough from Penn State right there to list him at 6'9", 240. That's not generous. But John Hara is a rebounder, a guy that had double-doubles left and right for Penn State, a really good teammate, earned Penn State's 2020 Big Ten Sportsmanship Award, a guy that people love to play with, according to his teammates, according to that Penn State program, and someone that the Badgers could desperately use. I mean, the exact piece they don't have. Good finisher, good rebounder, huge, strong presence.
Spot on. I'm sold. I'm in. I mean, you need the size. You need the experience. They just need some type of influx of talent. They're getting the 2021 class, which has a chance to make an impact. But if we've watched Wisconsin basketball over the last, 20 years, there aren't freshmen coming in and being stars right away. That's not who this program is. They're going to need to get someone. And yeah, he would be the perfect fit, especially given what you were just talking about with the big men down low. And it would take so much pressure off the other like kind of swing big men of the Tyler Walls and the Ben Carlsons, Chris Hodges, Matthew Moores, take so much pressure off them in all facets of the game.
And Wisconsin loves their swing offense big men, right? And Ben Carlson fits that. Matthew Moores fits that. Versatile offensive players that can do a lot, pass well, as you were saying, Ben, about Moores. And that is, or Carlson, you were saying that about. And both, it's true for both, by the way, watching them both play. Carlson this year, and of course, Moores watching his high school tape, watching what he's done in South Dakota, one of the great players in South Dakota high school history, Matthew Moores. Let's get into the guys Wisconsin has actually reached out to slash one they already have. Isaac Lindsay is the name Wisconsin's got, a UNLV freshman transfer, a guy that played at Mineral Point in this beautiful Badger state, missed all of his freshman year at UNLV with a hip injury, 6'4 combo guard, getting a preferred walk-on, not a scholarship guy, preferred walk-on guy at Wisconsin, but Isaac Lindsay is headed to Madtown. Three guys, quick names, Ben, before you jump in, three guys that Wisconsin has reached out to. Joseph Yesufu, who was amazing in the last month for Drake, leading them to the NCAA tournament when their starting point guard went out. A guy that dropped 26 on USC in the NCAA tournament first round, 21 on Wichita State the game before that. Getting his own shot is easy for him. How many times have you heard me say that about a Badger player in the last couple of years? He can get his own shot whenever he wants it. At any level, I don't care if you're playing me and Ben on playing pickup at like freaking the Shell, or if you're playing on the Big Ten court, like I don't care. You hear the name Drake, you might think mid-major. No. I don't care who he's playing against. Guess who wants him, by the way? Kansas. Kansas has reached out to him. That A, tells me I'm not going to get him, and B, tells me he can score against anybody in the country because he can, because if you watch him, that's what he does. Bucket getter. Bucket getter, and more efficient than most bucket getters in college basketball, over 38% from three, 45% from the field. That is actually really efficient when you talk about high-volume college basketball scorers.
I mean, I have with these guys, and Lindsay, I wanted to touch on too. With these guys, I have three questions. Number one, can they shoot?
Can they? Yesufu, yes. Lindsay, he hasn't played in 2 years. I mean, it's hard to say anything about him because he hasn't played in 2 years. He missed his senior year of high school in his freshman year of college. What is he going to be? We don't really know, but he's a preferred walk-on. He's a Badger kid. He's a fan of the team growing up. I mean, he's 6'4". He has good size, good strength. We'll see. The other guy that can absolutely 100% shoot that Wisconsin is targeting, at least for his first 2 years in college, this year is a bit of an anomaly, Gabe Kalscher from Minnesota, who Badger fans, you'll know that name. If you've watched this team, if you watch the Big Ten, you'll know that name. He shot 24% from three this year, 41% as a freshman 2 years ago, and that was high volume as a freshman, by the way. That wasn't like coming off the bench, shooting one or two a game. That was still high volume. So that's kind of weird when you look at that drop, but this was a weird season, right? We saw Nate Reavers struggle. I'm sure it was mental, especially as a shooter. Actually, I'm going to say this. I know it was mental because as a shooter, trust me, as a shooter growing up, it is so mental. It is like pitching a baseball. It is like playing tennis, solo tennis. It is so, so mental. And I think that a new place, he's a great player, good defender. He's going to be an awesome addition wherever he goes. If the Badgers could land him, and I think it's possible. I do think it's possible the Badgers land him. If the Badgers could land Kalscher, who, by the way, is also looking at maybe going back to Minnesota. He hasn't ruled that out either. And obviously a new coach, Richard Pitino, out. And so that's one of the reasons he's looking at other areas, other Big Ten schools, other schools around the country. But Gabe Kalscher would be a great addition for this Wisconsin team.
Yeah, I mean, where I'm at with these transfers is just, can they shoot? Because we saw what happened to Wisconsin when nothing fell last year. Can they shoot? Can they create their own shot? And can they play defense and rebound? Like, it's really, what did we not see last year? What do we need an influx of with all these guys coming in without experience? I mean, and then that with, obviously, the experience of actually playing in college.
Well, to Greg Gard's credit, I would say yes and yes for Yesufu and Kalscher. Check all those boxes. Every single one. Both good defenders. Both really good shooters. Kalscher not this year, like I said, but that was an anomaly over the last 3 years. Yesufu can really create his own shot. Gabe Kalscher a little bit more relied on Marcus Carr to get those for him. But can he create his own shot better than most of the guys coming back next year for Wisconsin? Absolutely he can. And he'll be a really, really good part of wherever he goes. Like I said, he can play on any basketball team in the country he wants and have a role, in my opinion. He's one of those kinds of guys because, like you said, he does play great defense. That is one thing he checks off. And that is one thing I guarantee you that Greg Gard will and absolutely should, of course, look for in any transfer because that is the backbone of the Wisconsin program.
Because if you could play defense, you could close a game.
And with that, we will leave this episode of Locked On Badgers. Ben Second. We're back, baby. We're back Monday through Friday. Locked On Badgers, the vibe is back. We're growing together. The chemistry's here. I can feel it. We're going to just get better and better. And we're going to have more recruiting guests on. As the summer went on, last summer we had a ton of guys from that Building 2021 class. I plan to do the exact same thing this offseason and have a ton of recruiting guests for you. So I'm really excited for the future of this show. And Ben, I'm just happy to have you with me.
Yeah, thrilled. Thrilled to be here. Thrilled to be with all of Badger Nation. I said I would close each show with a reason why I'm talking myself into a Wisconsin football Big Ten championship. My reason today is an emerging name at defensive end. His name is Rodus Johnson. Write it down. We'll talk about it another week. But Rodus Johnson could enter the defensive end conversation and make an impact.
Ben's saying that because nobody could stop talking about him today at the press conference. That's why Ben's saying that. As always, on Wisconsin. See you tomorrow.